Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Because I really feel the presence of the Lord in this place tonight. And as I was seeking the Lord this morning, obviously I know that there's heavy hearts tonight. Doesn't matter who you vote for. There's a lot riding on this election. When I say it doesn't matter who you vote for, I don't mean it doesn't matter. I'm saying when I speak that to you and I say that to you, I'm not judging you based on who you voted for or whether you can be here or not. You don't have to affiliate with a certain party to come to church. I do believe that there is a candidate that stands up for what's right, stands up for what we believe in, stands up for the unborn, that stands up for biblical marriage. And so I think that that's important, but there's a lot riding on this. But I want to encourage you tonight from Psalm chapter 91. You can go ahead and turn with me in your Bible there. You know, when COVID first started sweeping the nation and there was mass panic and fear and people were acting completely crazy. You know, I remember there was one week where we hadn't gone out much because everything was, you know, shut down and we needed to go get groceries and my wife went to get a Walmart pickup order and they couldn't get her any meat. And so we went to another grocery store and we couldn't find any meat. And we went to another grocery store. And finally, we ended up calling a certain grocery store and they said, if you get here in the next 20 minutes, we'll have some. But if you don't, it'll probably all be gone. And people were just acting in complete and in total terror and fear. And I remember Pastor Greg, we were still in Scottsboro at that point. He spoke on Psalm 91. And I remember seeing a lot of people share this psalm on Facebook. I remember seeing yard signs, people putting it in their yard. But this psalm is not reserved for any one certain event. This psalm is for our life. Anything that's in the Word of God is for my life. It's for my benefit. It's to help me. It's to encourage me. And the Spirit of God told me during worship to tell you that if you do not have a prayer language, you need to seek God and get a prayer language. Because, and what I mean by that is a communication, the way that you communicate with the Lord. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get what we call a prayer language. And we don't believe that you have to have a prayer language in order to be saved or in order to go to heaven. It's not for your salvation. It's for your life here on earth. It has nothing to do with eternity. Whether or not you speak in tongues will not determine whether or not you go to heaven or go to hell, because that's not in the Bible. The reason God gave you a prayer language is for you. Because you need to have a way that you communicate with God. Because there are sometimes that your spirit has something to say that your mouth does not know how to say it. And the only way you can communicate with the Spirit of God is by letting your spirit pray through your body in a way that you don't understand. And in the book of Jude, let's actually just turn there really quick. In the book of Jude, there's only one chapter. It's right before Revelation. It's right there, back there at the end. He says, where's this at? I want to find this one verse. This isn't what I planned to say, but this is what the Lord led me to. Somebody help me find where it says, pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. Where's it say that? Everybody start searching Jude chapter 1. I don't look like a good scholar right now. It's probably because I'm not a scholar. I barely got out of high school, y'all. 120. But you, beloved, listen to this. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I know that you may be discouraged. I know there's going to be times when you're going to get discouraged. But I just remember the words of Jesus. He said, in this life, you will have tribulation. Listen, getting saved doesn't solve all your problems. Getting saved just gives you the assurance that one day you won't have any problems anymore. But it doesn't save you from having problems while you're on this earth. And so Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, don't let yourself get discouraged. It's not wrong to feel discouraged. it's wrong to stay discouraged, because we're all going to have discouraging things. You're going to lose a family member. You're going to lose a friend. You're going to lose a job. Your candidate's not going to win. You're going to have an unexpected medical thing come up. You're going to have something go on, and you're going to get discouraged, but be of good cheer. And here's why he said, I have overcome the world. Listen, it may take a while before we understand everything that's going on in this election. And just so you know, this election is not over. No matter, the media doesn't get to determine whether the election is over or not. But God will have an office who he wants to have an office. And we're going to trust that. No matter who wins, God's still God. And you are a Christian before you are an American. Okay? That's something that I think, I have no problem with being proud to be an American. I'm telling you what, whenever I hear the national anthem, whenever I hear God bless America, whenever I, see soldiers being honored or returning home and reuniting with their family, I'm telling you, just such a healthy pride rises up inside of me. I'm proud to be an American. But I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God before I'm a citizen of this nation. And I take being a citizen of this nation very, very seriously. But you have to remember, you're a Christian before you're an American. You're a child of God before you're a son or daughter of Uncle Sam and of this great nation. And I've got nothing against America. I think that there's a lot wrong with it, but I think there's a lot right about it too. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for what America was founded upon the beliefs of wanting to have freedom to express yourself in your religion and serve God. That's why our forefathers came to this nation. Was to find freedom. And freedom, though, can only be found not in a constitution, but in Jesus Christ. He said, it is for freedom that I have set you free. Do not return again to the yoke of slavery. And so I just want you to know tonight that regardless of the outcome of this election, listen, if you're a Republican, you've lived with a Democratic president before. If you're a Democrat, you've lived with a Republican president before. Anyone that's in this room has been alive, I think, during a Republican and a Democratic president. And we're all still here. And we all still got somewhere to live. We all still got something to eat. And listen, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter who's president. It does matter who you vote for. It does matter who's in office. But I think that it's important that we understand that our ultimate authority does not end at the White House. He's seated on the throne. And he's so big and he's so awesome that if we saw his face, we'd die. Right now, we can't see his face until we trade this body for the next body. That's how big our God is. And so don't let because it sounds, terrifying and crazy to think that your candidate might lose. But listen, he's not your candidate. He may be who you voted for, but they're just men, and God is going to use who he wants in that office and in that position. So don't fret. Don't worry. And you need to have a prayer language that you can commune with God. You can build up that most holy faith. Because listen, if your faith fails, everything else will fail underneath it. You've got to stand fast, stand firm in the faith. Amen? All right, Psalm chapter 91. We're going to read verse 1. And we're going to talk about it. And I'm not going to do the entire thing tonight because it's already 7:21. But we're going to look at a few passages here in the chapter Psalm 91. And let's just pray and thank God for his word real quick. God, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I thank you that it leads us and it guides us into all that you want us to know about this life, God. I thank you that it's perfect. I thank you that it's true. And Lord, we just trust you tonight. And we ask that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit through this chapter, God. Change our mindsets about things, God. I just feel like we need a recalibration tonight, God. Just like taking your vehicle to the shop and just saying, hey, give it a good old-fashioned tune-up. God, give our hearts and our minds a tune-up tonight in how you want us to live and how you want us to think. In Jesus' name, amen. He who dwells, this is what God spoke to me this morning when I was praying. I was just praying and, I mean, I'm probably not hiding anything. Y'all know where I stand on politics, I think, and that's okay. But I was praying this morning and I said, God, I'm not mad, but I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't worried a little bit. It's okay to tell God that you're worrying. it's better to do that because he already knows than to keep worrying, than to let worry turn into fear and let it turn into anxiety. And so I just said, God, I'm worried and I'm a bit anxious. And he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what God spoke to me this morning. Not from his word, like I felt him say it over me. And I feel like that's what he's saying to us tonight is, whether the donkey or the elephant prevails, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and you will be safe, you will be protected, you will be upheld, you will be provided for, you will be taken care of completely, because every good and perfect gift that comes down from above comes from the Father of all lights, in whom there is no derision, nor shadow, nor variation, or shadow of turning, and I mess that all up, but it's still true that he's that way. So the promise to be covered by the shadow of the Almighty is made only to those who dwell in the secret place. You see, it's a club. It's not an exclusive club. It's an inclusive club. What I mean by that is, God's not over here saying, I'm going to protect and provide for these people, but you can't be a part. He says, anybody that will dwell with me in my secret place, I will protect. So it is a club, meaning there are some people on the outside and some people on the inside, but that doesn't make it an exclusive club, because God is an inclusive God. He wants every tribe, every race, every tongue, every nation to be a part of his kingdom and to go to heaven and live with him forever one day. But the promise is only to those who dwell. Now, first I want to define the biblical definitions of the words dwell and secret place, so that we can have a better understanding of what God is telling us in this season. The word dwell means to make to abide, to continue, to cause to, make to dwell, ease self, endure, and establish. That phrase secret place means covering, covert, disguise, hiding place, protection, secretly. Really quick, let me give some further definition to that and some further understanding. When you are in disguise, it means you're in plain sight, but yet you are still hidden. Because he told us to be in the world, but not of the world. I don't know about you, but there's a couple times I thought about moving to Montana, because there's like half a person per square mile out there. You know what I'm talking? A man just has room to breathe and not see anybody, you know, and you could throw a rock 50 times and not see your nearest neighbor out there. I mean, sometimes that sounds pretty good. But he said, if you will dwell in the secret place, I'll make you hidden in plain sight. Where you can go to Walmart, you can go here, you can go there, and you'll be safe no matter where you go, because as long as you're with me, nothing can prevail against you. So the psalmist is indicating to us that the shelter and the protection that this entire chapter is promising to us is only guaranteed to the woman or the man that chooses to continue in the hiding place of God. You see, the secret place is not a physical place. Did you ever have a secret place when you were a child? Somewhere that you went, and I bet you mom and daddy knew where it was, but you thought that you had a secret place that nobody else knew about, that you could hide. I remember I had a place back in the woods, and I would run through our back gate, I'd turn right, and I'd run down this little creek bed, and I found this little clearing that I'd go down, and it was a dry creek bed, and the sun would come through the trees at just the right way, and I remember sitting there for, I don't know, it felt like an hour. It was probably 3 seconds, especially knowing my attention span. You know, I was like, I spent 4 hours in the woods and it was 10 seconds, you know. But I remember sitting there and I remember connecting with God and praying when I was maybe 8 years old. But it was a secret place that I could go, that I could get away. That was you grow up with 11 siblings. There's not a lot of secret places in the house. You know, I mean, there's only so many places you can go. But it's not a physical place that you go to with God. Now, I'm not saying that your secret place, you can't meet with God in a physical place in the same place every time. I'm a firm believer that when you can seek God anywhere, but I think it's important to have a place that you meet with God on a regular basis. That you say, God, this is where we meet. This is our special place. It doesn't mean you have to be there in order to meet with him, but I think it's just special. But the secret place is not a physical place, but it's a spiritual place. It's a place that we live with him in our spirits and in our minds. So here's a question God wanted me to ask you tonight. Where are you spending the time of your mind? Because most of us probably have jobs or have schools or have homes, responsibilities, places we have to be, right? Like you've got to be at your job tomorrow at 9 a.m. And so if you want to keep that job, you got to show up at that job. But that doesn't mean that you leave the secret place at home. That means that you dwell in the secret place even when you're at your job tomorrow morning, because the secret place is not a physical place, but it's a spiritual place. And so the question of God is, where are you spending the time of your mind? Meaning this, are you constantly living in a state of worry and confusion? Well, what if Trump wins? What if Biden wins? What if this happens? What if we don't control the Senate? What if we don't control the House? What if the economy crashes? What if there's looting? What if there's rioting? If that's where you're placing your thoughts, then you're not hiding in the secret place. So where are you in? Because you can either waste time worrying, or you can invest time setting your mind on things that are above and not on things of this earth. And so we've got to choose that I'm going to spend the time of my mind with Him. I'm going to dwell in the secret place. Remember that definition of dwell: make to abide, continue, cause to. I'm going to make my mind be stayed upon God. I'm going to make my spirit stay connected to God. I'm going to make it a dwell. I'm going to ease myself. I'm going to endure. I'm going to establish myself in the secret place of God. So where are you choosing to cast your thoughts? Because 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, might be 2 Peter, but I think it's 1 Peter. It says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Some translations say, cast all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. When you cast your thoughts on the altar of worry and of doubt and of anxiety, they will fall back on you and crush you. It's like rolling a heavy rock up a mountain. It's a very dangerous task to attempt, because one slip of the foot and the rock that you're rolling uphill is going to begin to roll back down on you. But when you cast your anxieties, when you cast your cares on Him, on His altar, when you set your mind on Him and you say, God, I'm like I did this morning, God, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried, if I said I wasn't a little anxious, if I said I wasn't a little confused, if I said I wasn't a little, you know, I mean, especially the church, because so many evangelicals, and I don't want to get too political, but there's a difference between Christians and evangelicals, okay? Not all evangelicals are Christians, but not everybody that calls themselves Christians are Christians, come to think of it. But we tend to think Christians, I'll say we, but Christians rely heavily upon what we've heard said. And sometimes that's okay, sometimes it's bad, but just because somebody said it doesn't mean that it's true. Just because it resonated with your natural mind doesn't mean it resonated with the Spirit of God that rests inside of you. And so we've got to be careful that we don't set our hopes up to get dashed. We need to make sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's where praying in the Spirit is so important. But the key word in this phrase that Peter gives us is all. Cast all of your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. He doesn't just want you to give Him the big stuff or just the little stuff. He wants you to give every single time there's an anxious thought, every single time there's a worrisome thought, every single time something pops up into your mind. What about this? What about that? Cast it on Him. You need to ask yourself, where am I spending the time of my mind? Is my mind running over here and running over there? I need to choose to remain and dwell in the secret place. One of the definitions of dwell that I didn't put on here just means to sit. Just sit. Sometimes you just need to tell, you ever had a dog or you had a child that you're just like, just sit down. Yeah, I know you all said, I can hear you mamas right now. Just sit down, sit down. And sometimes we need to command our mind and command our soul. Just sit down, sit down and dwell in the secret. He's made a secret place for you that the enemy doesn't know where it is. The world doesn't know where it is. But you can live in the secret place anywhere, hidden in plain sight. And it's crucial to staying in the secret place to cast your mind upon Him. Don't let that one thought steal away your peace. Don't let that one thought steal away your joy. Don't let that one thought steal away your assurance that God is on the throne and He's faithful and He's good. So He says, he who dwells, and remember that word dwells means to make, to abide. What you have to do is you have to bring your mind and your soul into submission and make yourself Stay in the secret place. Because you're going to be tempted to get up and to run over here and run over there. What's Fox saying? What's CNN saying? What's MSNBC saying? What's CBS saying? What's Facebook saying? What's my next door neighbor saying? What's Daddy saying? And sometimes you just need to say, I'm going to quiet all the other voices and just sit in the secret place and listen to what my Father has to say. You see, the enemy wants to get you on the run, right? It's like fight or flight. He wants to get you to begin to run this way and that way. He wants to confuse you because he cannot snatch you out of the secret place. So the only way the enemy can get you is if you abandon the secret place that God created for you and for him. And so that's why he wants to get you to run. And that's why he wants to tempt you to come over here. And what we have a tendency to do is say, this is the secret place. We want to live out here and only run to the secret place when we feel like we need it. But he doesn't want us to have visitation to the secret place, but habitation in the secret place. You see, we want to live out here because when everything's good and everything's fine and our party is in the you know, in control of the presidency and in control of the Senate and control of the House or whatever, or your, you know, senator won or whatever it is, or your job's going well, we want to live out here. And then when something goes bad, everybody wants to run to the secret place. But God's saying, if you would have stayed in the secret place, you wouldn't have had the turmoil, you wouldn't have the stress, you wouldn't have the fear, you wouldn't have the worry, because the enemy cannot infiltrate your mind with those kind of thoughts if you're in the secret place, because you are covered by God. Now again, I'm not speaking physically, but spiritually, and the protection that we have from God is to keep us shielded from the enemy. You see, he says, when you make yourself abide in the secret place, you're covered by the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? It literally means, if you look at the definition in Hebrew, it means like a mother hen shielding her chicks. Okay? So it means that not only is there a secret place that nobody knows where it is, but God is guarding the secret place. You ever play hide and seek and your job was to like, or capture the flag and you like guarded the flag, right? Well, God is guarding your secret place. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's like God is hovering over you with his wings like this, covering you and shielding you. And I thought about this today. It's double protection. He doesn't just give you a secret place. He doesn't just shield you. He gives you a secret place and he shields you. It's double coverage. In football or in basketball, when there is a player that is dangerous to the opposition, they'll put two people on that person to guard him. And they call it double coverage. They take somebody off of somebody else, leaving them vulnerable to cover them. And God is so concerned, not in a bad way, but in a good way, about you, that he double covers you when you dwell in the secret place. And so you're under double protection. God has you double covered, the secret place and his shadow, meaning not only does the enemy not know where you are, but he can't even get to you if he were to find out where you are, even though he can't find out where you are. That's how protected you are when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. You're covered by a shadow. He's shielding you from any and from all danger. Meaning, if the enemy tries to throw a fiery dart at you, if he tries to throw an accusation at you, if he tries to throw a sickness your way, God is deflecting the blow. Have you ever, maybe you parents, your child, something was coming fast at your child, or somebody threw something and you threw yourself in front of them to cover them, or you moved them around behind you to protect them. That's what God is doing. He is covering you, saying, I'll deflect any blow that comes so that you don't have to receive it. So regardless of who's in office, regardless of the state of the nation, whether you are you know, everything's good or everything's going bad in the world around you, when you're under the guard of the Maker in heaven and earth, you're safe. So back to the original question, which is, where are you spending the time of your mind? Because remember, dwells means to make, to abide, to continue, to cause to make, to dwell, to ease oneself, to endure, to establish. You must command yourself, don't run, because you're going to be tempted to run. Your first instinct is going to be to run. You see, I preached a sermon a long time ago called Babies Don't Blink. Because when children are first born, they have no instinct to blink when you flash your hand in front of their face because they don't know what pain feels like. They don't know what it's like to get hit in the face. So try it. Like when you have your child, Kendra, when you have your next child, Donna, with Noah. No, not right now. It might mess it up. It might not work. No, I'm just kidding. You take your child and you flash your hand like that in front of their face and they do not blink. But if I did it to Pastor Madison, if I did it to Tanner, no matter how hard they try, they're going to blink because their brain is going to tell them, I'm about to get hit in the face, right? But a baby has no idea that they're about to get hit in the face, and so they don't blink. Why? Because it's the Bible says in 1 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You weren't born with a spirit of fear. You learned how to fear. That's why babies don't blink, because they weren't born with fear. They learned how to fear. Now, once children get a little bit earlier and they've fallen a couple times and they've bumped their head a few times, you flash your hand in front of their face, they're going to blink because they've learned what fear is and what pain is. And so God didn't give you the instinct of fear, but God can take away the instinct of fear. And so the way that you curb that fear is by realizing I'm safe in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, you can only be in somebody's shadow if you're close to them. So realize that when you're in the secret place, you are as close to God as you can possibly be, because He cannot cast His shadow upon you unless you are close to Him. So that should give you assurance. That should give you hope. That should give you a feeling of safety, a feeling of ease. It should make fear run from your life, because you realize if God is right here, then I have nothing to fear, because nothing can defeat God. So there's no safer place you could be than in His perfect hands. Because remember, the Word of God, and everybody uses this as an argument for once saved, always saved, right? Nothing can snatch me out of His hand. Completely true. Nothing can. But we do have the free will to leave the secret place at any time that we want to, because God gave us the choice. So, but we also should live with the assurance that if I'm in the secret place, nothing can get to me. Remember Job? The only reason the enemy got to Job is because God let him. It's not because the enemy was able to penetrate God's hedge of protection around Job. It was because God allowed him to. And so we've got to realize that we're safe. Let's read verses 2 through 4, and we'll try to move a little quicker through these. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Listen, I have been so impacted here recently about the power of our words. You need to say, you need to speak with your mouth tonight before you go to bed, tomorrow when you wake up. He is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In Him will I trust. Because listen, what you're doing is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're speaking the Word of God. And when you speak the Word of God, you're hearing the Word of God. Your faith is built up and you begin to believe more and more and more that He actually is your refuge. He actually is your fortress. He actually is your God, and you will trust in Him. So I would encourage you, speak that with your mouth. And Pastor Lyndall Cooley was at the church at Scottsboro this past Sunday evening, and he was talking about, you know, just your shout and needing to open your mouth and needing to release. And it's so true. There's so many people that think, well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. But He said in His Word that we need to shout. He said in His Word that we need to sing. He said in His Word that we need to declare. And David said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So open your mouth and speak that. Amen. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me. Isn't it funny that all of a sudden COVID's like the last thing on your mind? They didn't take much, did it? Perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. There again, that's, and under His wings shall you take refuge. I like this right here. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth. Here's one thing I love about the truth. Nothing can change it. Nothing. You cannot illegitimize truth. Truth will prevail. No matter what happens, no matter what's said, the truth will always be the truth. It's firm. In fact, if you look up the definition of the word truth, it means firm, settled, and final. Like, it can't be changed. It can't be gone back on. God can't change His Word. He won't change His Word. And it's true. So we have to hold on to truth. And truth protects us on every side. And it's interesting that the psalmist who most people attribute this psalm to, David, which David was a skilled warrior, right? He understood the terms of battle and hand-to-hand combat. He said that truth is your shield and your buckler. I always thought buckler was just like a buckle or something. I never knew what a buckler was until I looked it up one day. But he didn't just say, your truth is my shield or your truth is my buckler. He said, it's my shield and buckler. Now remember, he who dwells in the secret place shall be covered. It's double protection. This is once again showing us in opening our eyes to understand that God is giving us double protection. Okay? Because here's how I know this. Both of these items, a shield and a buckler, were both forms of defense. They were both shields. They were the same instrument with different applications. Okay? A shield was a very large metal square shield that you would dodge off, you know, arrows and spears and swords, but it was heavy and it was mostly used by footmen that would go out first in battle, or they would build a wall and a shield. But then a buckler was this little circle thing that you would buckle, strap onto your hand, and it was kind of round, and it was used in hand-to-hand combat and like sword fights, so that it was quick, it was mobile, it was easy to move around. So you kind of, though, had to choose as a soldier, do I want a shield or do I want a buckler? Because a shield will give me mass protection, but I'm not very mobile with it. If you wanted to strike your enemy with a sword, you had to reach around your shield like this. But if you had a buckler in one hand and a sword in the other, you could defend with the buckler, but it didn't give the same kind of protection that the shield gave, but it gave you more mobility. But he said, your truth will be a shield and a buckler, meaning I don't have to choose between being mobile and being protected. Meaning I can go anywhere and be protected by God. I don't just have a shield, right? Because warriors had to choose. Will I carry a shield or will I carry a buckler? Will I be able to play offense or will I only be able to play defense? But he's saying, if you hold on to the truth of God, you will have both at the same time, and God will be both of them for you. Just like he's a secret place, and he shields you, and he protects you. So when we choose to hold on to truth, we don't have to choose. Once again, we're double protected. Now, here's one thing that I love about the truth, is the truth doesn't have to be defended, it just has to be used. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. I heard this analogy before, and I'm going to share it with you. If I'm laying in my bed in my house, and a robber is stupid enough to come through the front door and try to rob my home, when I grab my weapon of self-defense, I don't hold it up and say, now robber, this right here is, and then explain what kind of gun I have. This is a Glock 19, and it holds 16 rounds, and I have one in the chamber. And if I squeeze this little trigger here, it'll slide this thing back, and then it'll propel it forward, and there will be some hot lead coming your way. I don't have to explain, I don't have to defend to him the way that my, this is a gun, it'll hurt if I use it on you now. I just point it and shoot. And it works. You don't have to defend the truth, you just have to use the truth. And this is why it's so important to know the Word of God. Not just read the Word of God, listen, but know the Word of God. Know it, hide it in your heart. Keep it there. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy, when God led him into the wilderness, what did he use as his defense and his offense? The Word of God. He said, it is written, it says. And he quoted the Word of God every single time. He didn't read the Word of God. He didn't have YouVersion to look it up or Google. Hang on, devil. I think this is in Luke, but I'm not sure. Let me look it up real quick. He was able to speak it to the devil because he knew it in his heart, because he'd study it, because he'd memorized it. If you can't quote any scripture, I'm not downing you, I'm not hating on you, but you should learn some scripture. Not to impress people, not to impress God, so that you have ammunition, so that when the enemy tries to break into your home, you have something that you can use to defend yourself with. Because the enemy's going to come after you, and there's going to be times when you leave yourself susceptible. And the Word of God is a defense. He said, it's your truth that is my shield, and it is my buckler. And so use the Word of God. It's so important to know it. Now, let's read verse 14 and we'll begin to wrap this up here. Let's just skip down to that because I wanted to make sure I got this. Because this, I believe, is the kicker of all of these verses. Okay? Because all this is so important. But For far too long, the church has refused to assume the responsibility that she has needed to assume. Meaning, we want God to do everything for us. It's like I talked about a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning when Joash came to Elisha. He wanted Elisha to fix all his problems for him. And that's why he just, without enthusiasm, struck the ground 3 times. But we have to assume responsibility. You see, we want God to protect us, and we want Him just to run around like this, no matter where we go, whether we go outside of His will or not, we think He's just bound and determined that He has to protect us. But we have a responsibility to make ourselves remain and stay in the secret place. So we have a responsibility. But listen to this in verse 14. This is what God says. It's in quotations. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because, listen to this, He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Listen to this. He will be with you in trouble. God doesn't turn and run at the first sign of trouble. You know, he doesn't get scared. He doesn't get fretful. When things get bad, He just sticks right there. He begins to cover you with His wings. He says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. Listen, these are promises of God that we need to fill ourselves with. But it goes back to verse 14. Because He set His love upon me. We have developed such a culture that's all about God's love for us. And listen, God's love for us is endless. I'm not taking away from God's love for us. But we've had enough preaching, teaching, talking, singing about God's love for us. I mean, it's all throughout His Word. It's true. But if we don't love God, then we're not understanding the full power of God's love for us. Because we love because He first loved us. Meaning that His love towards us was meant to invoke a response and not just a reception. We shouldn't just go, love me, love me, love me, love me. But the love that God bestows upon us, the love that God lavishes upon us, is meant for us to turn it back to Him and set our love on Him. Meaning that our love isn't set upon the things of this world, the dominions of this world, the politics of this world, the economy of this world. But we set our love on Him. And He says, because of this is why I'm going to deliver him. That's why. Not just because He said a prayer when He was 7 years old, but because He set His love upon me. Not just He said He loved me, but He set it on me. He fixed it on me. He kept His eyes fixed upon me. And I keep saying him or her. You know that God honors and loves men and women the same. When we set our love on Him, He will protect us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. And He'll give us long life. Listen, the presidency isn't forever. Even if your candidate doesn't win, in 4 years, we'll do this all over again. We've been doing this for a long time. This ain't the first time. Every time there's an election, we ask like it's the last one. You know, goodness gracious, we're stuck with this guy forever. I mean, 2016 feels like yesterday. Time is going by faster and faster every day. The older I get, the faster time goes by. But realize that God will satisfy you with a long life. Meaning, He won't just give you a long life, but He'll make it satisfactory. Okay? And I want to live a life that is satisfactory. And I don't want to live every life worried, discouraged, down, upset, fearful, fretful, despondent. I want to realize that every single day is the opportunity to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. And I'll be covered, I'll be protected by the shadow of His wings. And so when we live this kind of life, all hell can break loose around you. But I thought about this today. You'll be protected. Because, and I think I've shared this before, but when the Israelites were held captive in Egypt, even when God sent the plagues and darkness covered the land of Egypt, in Goshen, there was light. Listen, your home might be the only lit up house on the block, but it's still going to be lit up if Jesus is living and reigning in your heart and in your home. Listen, The president can't destroy you if Jesus is shepherding you, guiding you, covering you. It doesn't matter who it is, one party or the other. Just realize I need to make myself stay in the secret place. Don't run over here, run over there, get all worried. Listen, God sets dignitaries in place. He's the one that puts authorities in place. It says it in his word. And so you cast your vote, but it's like man, you know, plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. God is going to have in the White House who God wants in the White House. And we as Christians must have the understanding that we're going to trust him no matter what it looks like. It may not look like what you thought it was going to look like. It might not look like what that one preacher you listened to on YouTube said it was going to look like. Because we know in part and we prophesy in part, but sometimes we're still looking at it through a glass dimly. But only God knows the full picture. And so trust that God knows the full picture because he's sheltering us. He's protecting us. He's got double coverage on us. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's watching over you. And so don't be distressed. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't fret. Because God is still on the throne even if your party's not in the White House or in the Senate. So stand to your feet tonight. I hope that this has given you some revelation, given you some understanding, given you some peace. You know, peace doesn't mean the absence of problems. It just means the presence of God. It's not that you won't have problems, but Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Listen, there's so much worldly peace out there that says if you have this, you have this 401k, you got this car, you got this house, you got this job, you got your candidate at the White House, everything will be all right. No, peace that comes from God isn't determined on what you have externally, but what is happening internally. I was thinking the other day, how much peace Jesus must have had to be able to stand up in the midst of a storm and say, peace, be still. There was so much peace inside of him that when he spoke it, it calmed the atmosphere, it calmed the waves, it calmed the winds, it calmed the boat that they were riding in. And so I just speak over the turmoil and the turbulence that's in the atmosphere of America right now. And I say, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus, I thank you that you promised us that peace. And I thank you also, Father, that you said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, help us to not leave your shadow. Help us to not leave your secret place. Let us not spend the mind of our times worrying, being anxious, being fretful, running over here and over there to get different opinions from talking heads. But God, we want to be in tune with what your Spirit is saying. God, if there be anyone here tonight that's not filled with your Holy Spirit or has not yet received a prayer language from heaven, I pray that right now you would rest upon them by your Holy Spirit. I pray that out of their mouth shall flow rivers of living water. I pray that your word would be like a fire shut up inside of their bones. I pray that you would give them words to say, God, that no man could interpret, no evil spirit could understand, but only what would be spoken in the spirit realm between you and them, that their spirit could speak to you what their heart is feeling, God. I pray that you would help us to build up our most holy faith. God, let us not walk through this life without faith. You know, church, it says in Romans chapter 14, I believe it's 23, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And so, God, we want to build up our most holy faith so that we can walk in it, we can talk in it, we can think in it, we can live in faith. By your grace, through faith, have we been saved, and we don't want to wander away and think that we no longer have need of faith. But, God, we put our trust in our faith in you. We thank you that you are a true God. You're firm, you're steadfast, immovable. And we just rest in you tonight, God. Thank you that your secret place is a place of rest. God, I pray that we wouldn't lose sleep. God, your word says in the book of Psalms that it's vain to stay up early and or to rise up early and to stay up late. But you give your beloved sweet sleep. God, I pray if there be anybody here today that tossed and turned last night in worry, woke up having not slept good, that tonight would be the best rest they've ever had in your presence, God. Wash over us. We receive everything that you want for us, and we reject anything that you don't want for us. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, keep you in His perfect peace, and may He hide you in the secret place and under the shadow of the wings of our Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Love you guys. See you soon.